Johnny managed to get enough money together to buy a ticket for the circus that was coming to town. When the day arrived, Johnny left home early to be in good time for the event. As the circus parade made its way along the main street to the venue, Johnny gave his ticket to one of the performers going by. As he ran home, he couldn't wait to tell his dad about the circus. But his dad was surprised that his son was home so soon. So he asked him to describe the circus. The boy told of the parade that went along the main street and of giving his ticket to one of the performers. Then there was a pause in their conversation. And the father took Johnny in his arms and said, "Son, you didn't see the circus. All you saw was the parade." Johnny's experience reminds me of some people at Christmas time. Some get caught up with the tinsel and the trees, with the food and the lights, with the gifts and the glitter. And in being surrounded by all these things, they think they are experiencing what Christmas is about. But really, all they are doing is seeing the parade and missing the main event, missing the true meaning and joy of Christmas. The true meaning and joy of Christmas is found in Jesus, is found by focusing on the Savior. Luke 2, verses 10 and 11. "Do not be afraid," the angel said to the shepherds. "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." The joy of Christmas comes by receiving God's gift of the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The true joy of Christmas is the joy of knowing that things are right between us and God, and things are right between us and God as we believe in our hearts what Jesus came to do for us. Let's think for some moments on why the message of the angel to the shepherds is good news of great joy. The message of the angel to the shepherds is good news of great joy because it's for sinners in need of a Savior. Verse 11 says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." Not an economist or an educationalist, but a Savior. The mention of Savior means that from his birth, from the outset, Jesus was on a mission, a saving mission to the world. His coming into the world was to do something for me and for you that we could never, ever do for ourselves. I need saving from something. And it's the angel's words to Mary and Joseph in Matthew chapter 1 that tells us what we need saving from. And I know it was touched on in the service this morning. Matthew 1, verse 21. "Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." The message of the angel to the shepherds is good news of great joy because it's for sinners in need of a Savior. Think for a moment of the shepherds to whom the message came. There they were, sitting in the darkness of the night, minding their sheep. Sitting, we might say, in the darkness of sin and in the shadow of death, when suddenly they were startled by the news about the Savior's birth. Was this something they knew about from the Old Testament prophets? Was this something the shepherds were expecting as they were out there minding their sheep? We can't be sure. What we can be sure about is their response. How prompt it was. No sitting in committee wondering what to do about the news. We know of the shepherds hurrying off to see for themselves. And they couldn't contain themselves after their visit to the stable in Bethlehem. And out they went to spread the word about Jesus. The message of the angel to the shepherds is good news of great joy because it's for sinners in need of a Savior. You know, folks, there was a time in my life when I had little thought of God and the gospel. I wasn't harsh or rude towards those who spoke to me about Jesus, about who he was and what he had done, but I was somewhat indifferent. Through my late teens and into my early 20s, I just wanted to get on with life in my way. But at that time, I didn't know that people cared about me and that people were praying for me. And gradually, the faithful witness of Christians at work began to stir me, began to get me thinking a bit more deeply. I knew I had attitudes that weren't good. There were interests I had that I needed to let go. And so I began, if you like, to clean up my act, clean up my life in certain areas. And Lila and I began to be more regular at church. That was in the Mourne congregation in Kilkeel. And more over time, we began to look the part. We began to easily fit into Christian circles. But neither of us had a moment or a time in our lives when we could say we had turned from ourselves and our sin to Jesus. Truly, we were sinners in need of a Savior. And in the winter of 1980, under the Spirit's leading, we repented of our sin. And in Jesus, we found forgiveness and true peace with God. Folks, I fear that many in our land and in our world today, and maybe with church connections, I fear we have reduced God, or if you like, downsized God, to little more than a kindly old man who is tolerant of our sins. We think the only folk God will judge are the worst of the worst. And we have so lifted up humanity that we mistakenly think that most people are just not so bad after all. And as a result, we don't take seriously what the Bible teaches about God's judgment on sin and the great danger folk are in outside of Christ. Many just don't appreciate, just don't grasp the good news of the Savior's coming, that he has come to grant forgiveness and peace to all who repent and believe. The message of the angel to the shepherds is good news of great joy because it's for sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus came for our forgiveness and for our peace. Second, the message of the angel to the shepherds is good news of great joy because it is true news. If someone said to me, "Bobby, you have just inherited a 100-acre farm with a grand house and good outbuildings." And my reply was, "Really?" And then the person telling me this said, "No, I'm just winding you up." Such news is simply worthless because it's not true. Good news is only good if it is true. Friends, we've all been led up the garden path. If news about Jesus is not true, or if it is just a nice story that warms our hearts every Christmas. But if it is true news, then we must give serious thought to it. Luke, in his account of the life of Jesus, wants us to know that the news about Jesus is true. In Luke 1, verse 3, Luke states that he investigated everything carefully about Jesus. His gospel was the fruit of careful research. Many scholars believe that Mary was Luke's source for the information regarding Christ's birth. For example, Luke 2, verse 19 says that Mary had treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. In other words, announcements and events were not in one ear and out the other with Mary. So Mary could easily inform Luke on the birth and early life of Jesus. Someone has said that to doubt the truth of the events recorded by Luke is to pit our word against that of Mary, who was personally closer to these events than anyone else. The message of the angel to the shepherds is good news because it's for sinners in need of a Savior, and because it is true news. And then, of course, we can add to Mary's pondering the witness of the shepherds. There was no reason for them to fabricate a story about the message they had received. Indeed, verse 20 affirms that the things the shepherds saw in the stable were just as they had been told. And we can go back further. The good news of great joy is true because it finds support in forward-looking Old Testament prophets. Isaiah spoke about the virgin birth, chapter 7. And in Micah 5, we read of Bethlehem being the town where the Savior would be born. And these prophets, of course, were looking forward hundreds of years, 600, 700, 800 years before these events took place in Bethlehem. The angel's message to the shepherds is good news of great joy because it's for sinners in need of a Savior and because it's true news. Our culture today promotes the idea that if you want to believe in Christianity, that's okay, but it's not for everyone. There are other options out there. There's no such thing as absolute truth in the spiritual realm. That's our culture in these days. That's how many see things these days. But if Jesus was born in history to the Virgin Mary, if Jesus fulfilled prophecies made hundreds of years before his birth, and if events surrounding his death and resurrection are verified by multiple eyewitnesses, then we cannot pass it off as a nice story that is true for some but not for others. The Bible doesn't give us the option to pick and mix with regards to Jesus. Jesus Christ is the Savior who was born in history, the living God in human flesh. Emmanuel, meaning God with us. If God has so acted in history, then it is good news. If it is all fable or fabrication, then it is terrible news and terribly misleading with regards to eternal things. The angel's message to the shepherds is good news of great joy because it's for sinners in need of a Savior and because it is true news. And third, it is good news of great joy because it is for all people. It is for all people. The news the angels gave was not just for the shepherds, but for all people. If you are a Christian tonight, if you are a follower of Jesus tonight, if your life is different tonight because of Jesus, if your life is on a new path from which it once was because of Jesus, be encouraged and be confident. You are one of all the people. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you are one of all the people. The Jewish shepherds may well have understood all the people to mean the Jewish people. But there's no doubt that Luke would have his readers know that the good news is for Jew and Gentile alike, for any and for all who will call upon the name of the Lord. How is it, Paul puts it in verse 13 of Romans 10? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Apostle John tells us in chapter 1 of his gospel that to all who received him, Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Please, let us not settle for the parade of Christmas, but let's get our focus on the main event, keeping the main thing the main thing. Or the plain thing, the main thing. I read a Christmas story about some children who were eagerly waiting their father's return home from his job in the city. Every year when he came home for Christmas, he brought with him presents and goodies and a fresh Christmas tree. But there came a year when the dad had been laid off and there were no presents. And most disappointing for the children, no tree. The children still held out hope that their dad would come up with a tree. And he promised that he would do what he could. He went into the garage and he emerged sometime later carrying a thick piece of wood, about 5 feet tall, with holes drilled on all four sides. He went down the street to a neighbor whose property had some evergreen trees around it. He asked permission to cut some of the branches, which he brought home, and as you can imagine, he began to put into the holes in the wood, making a tree. Well, he was trying, but by no stretch of the imagination could it be called a Christmas tree. While the children were trying to deal with their disappointment, there was a knock at their front door. The woman and the son and her son from the house down the street were standing there with the most beautiful Christmas tree the children had ever seen. The woman kindly gave the children some presents that meant a lot to them, since they were all the presents they got that year. Every time the children passed the property down the street, they would see the gaping hole in the row of evergreen trees around their neighbor's house. And they were forever grateful for that act of kindness. Now, let me pose a question. How would the neighbor have felt if her offer had been ignored or rejected? Don't you think the neighbor would have felt deeply hurt by such a response? and by refusing the gift, that family would have missed some or much of the joy of that Christmas. A gift only brings joy if it is received. How do you think God feels after sending his son? Not only that, after sacrificing his son, so that we can know forgiveness for our sins and have eternal life, only to hear us say, thank you, but no thank you. That's for others, not for me. Doesn't matter how politely we turn down an offer like that. Any refusal of such a sacrificial offer is an insult. Could it be, might it be, there's someone here this evening, and you have nearly, but not yet, received God's gift of Jesus, who alone forgives our sins and puts heaven in our hearts. Friends, the movements and moods of Christmas may give some joy. We might say seasonal joy, but not lasting joy. The only way to know the long and lasting joy God wants us to have is by receiving the gift of his Son, the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. It's the greatest gift you could ever receive. But it only brings great joy if we accept it in our hearts by faith. The true message of Christmas is good news of great joy, because it's for sinners, such as we are, in need of a Savior, because it is true news, and because it is for all people, men and women and young people everywhere, who will believe and receive, who will repent and believe. Let's pray.